show. Yes. We're off and running. It's a little bit later than planned, like nearly a friggin' hour. Richard can't start his video. But he is here, I promise.
Hello.
There he is, see? There he is. That's Dr. Sexy right there. We're here to discuss the big tech news of the week, and what a panel. We've got a bloke who can't start his camera. And Jeff and Paul. How the devil are you, Richard?
I'm very well, apart from being visually impaired right now, thanks.
Visually impaired, there we go. You can't see a damn thing and you can't see us. What have you been up to, mate? Because we haven't seen you on the show for a long time.
God, oh, life's just nuts.
You've been doctoring.
What? Just everything. Just busy, yeah, just busy.
All right, mate. We'll leave it there because obviously we don't want to pry. Next to him, it's Jeff Gamet from the Jeff Gamet Network. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Welcome to my network, everyone. I'm glad that you can be here today, even the visually impaired.
Excellent. No question. Now, you've been out in coffee shops writing. Any sights? Any sounds?
Yes, actually, yes. A couple days ago, I was sitting about 5 feet away from this guy that was trying so desperately to score a date with his biology tutor. And so I managed to snap a photo of him, write up what he was doing, edit the image, get the blog post up, all while sitting pretty much right beside him.
Oh, good. Did he get the date or not?
No. He was so not getting that date.
Is he another teacher or is he a student trying to get a date with his teacher?
He was a student trying to get a date with his tutor, who's not his actual teacher. And, he was just crashing and burning.
That sounds like a teen movie right there.
You know, I could probably take the few minutes that I watched and roll that out into a full-on romantic comedy movie.
Do it, mate. Do it. That'd be good. Excellent. And last but by no means least, Righty. How you doing, boy?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, but I do be fine.
Good on you.
How's the life in Norwich?
Slow, as always. But fun and busy. The work's been pretty hectic the last couple of weeks, but, you know, enjoying it still.
Excellent. Yeah. Good man. And there's Dr. Sexy right here, look, see. The chat room's saying you look a bit rough in this picture, Paul. Richard, rather.
I'm just careful.
Have you put a still picture of us up or something?
No, I've got your Skype thing. It's the bald-headed bloke that's in the middle. And Jeff looks a bit like Richard Branson, they say. The Week in Tech. So, if you need to find penises, then you should look in Snapchat. And Snapchat allegedly has turned down an offer of $3 billion, you heard me right, but with a billion, dollars from Facebook. For the first off, why is Snapchat worth that? Because apparently that's the only place to go to find if you need it. And it's just, I can't find that. Is there billions of users or something like this with this thing? No. Okay, there isn't. Google Chrome has silenced tabs. Apparently, if you start up tabs normally, you'll get some piece of bloody video that plays itself. And Google Chrome has come up with a way of stopping that. So we do like that, if we could get Google Chrome to work properly at all. Mm. But it is a bit of a dog at the moment on Mavericks, it has to be said.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It is. It's awful. Allegedly, if you start the beta works better.
Oh, right.
But we'll have to see. Who knows? And a judge has said that e-books is a perfectly good thing for Google to do. It is in the greater good, apparently. And the US copyright law is not infringed, and therefore it constitutes fair use. This was a suit that was brought... Was it a class action or something that was brought by a whole pile of book publishers that said that Google Books was anti-copyright or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I can fill you in on that, because I actually wrapped up in that for a little while.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. So the deal is that a bunch of authors and publishers said that Google's plans to scan every page from every book was a copyright infringement. And Google's like, no, we're going to do whatever we want. We're Google. And so a whole class action lawsuit was filed against Google over doing all of this accumulation of books without first getting permission from the authors or the publishers. And since I have a book out there, I ended up getting the letters and emails from the law firm that was representing the class action. Right. And yeah, so now the court's saying Google can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, they're saying that what they've done with the 20 million books or so that they've taken snippets available for online is fair use under US copyright law, and that the information is in the greater good for public. There you go.
That's really got to piss off the publishers
immensely,
and probably a lot of authors. In my case, well, my book is old now, so it's not making me any money.
It was so to do with the searches as well, though, wasn't it? So it wasn't just the Google Books thing. It was the fact that they got snippets that were available for online searches that were coming back.
Right.
So good on them. Well done, Google. In the greater good, allegedly, like Batman and Robin.
The greater good.
Now, I was hoping that Carl was going to be here because apparently Google now has put more cards on the table with movies, news, and real-time traffic. Because they've bought Waze, haven't they?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a far bigger deal now than it ever was before. Repeat reminders and rugby, unquote. I don't know what the rugby bit's about, but never mind. There you go. Google now is bigger. That's the story, I guess. I was going to say Elon Musk, but it's not. It's Elop, isn't it? Old, what's his face from Nokia, is still tipped to be the top bloke. Kevin Turner says that Microsoft is at Kevin Turner is to be the new CEO, and then we'll hand it over to Elop, apparently.
All right.
I don't get that. Turner may only keep in the seat warm for current Nokia CEO Stephen Hillup, who is believed to have become the leading candidate since Microsoft agreed a deal to buy out the smartphone maker.
Well, he was a Trojan horse, wasn't he, that got Nokia cheap, wasn't he? So it's a good payoff.
He was put in and then he sold them off, yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Alan Mullally is on there, but he used to play cricket for England, didn't he? He was a shit bowler. Left armour over the top, real gangly bloke. He'd make a crap CEO. The MPAA, this is my favourite story of the week. The MPAA is backing, that's the Music Picture Association, or the Motion Picture Association, if not Music Picture, Motion Picture Association of America are pushing, or the American Motion Picture Association of America, if you want to do the dodgeball bit, are pushing to educate elementary school children about the dangers of piracy.
Oh,
of course.
Really?
They have joined a number of groups, unquote, to create a non-profit called the Center for Copyright Information, which is supported by the MPA and other groups, to commission a school curriculum to teach elementary-age children about the value of copyright. The proposed curriculum is still in draft, no shit, but it's already taking flack, no shit. Some critics say the curriculum promotes the biased agenda of Hollywood studios and music labels. No shit!
Really?
However, some others have contended it would create valuable classroom time when in the US public schools. There you go.
Okay, so we're going to be teaching in the schools here.
You're going to be
curriculums about not copying a movie.
Yeah.
Instead of teaching, say, music.
Yeah.
Or art classes, or how about sexual education classes, teaching kids about how to avoid getting pregnant. But we'll go ahead and make sure that they know that copying that movie is wrong.
Belts in the chat room says that can't be true. I think that's a CEO story, though, unfortunately.
Are you sure that you're getting these stories from The Onion?
Oh, no. I got this from... that was a story that was submitted to Slashdot. I like Slashdot. They're usually pretty good, actually, I have to say. We shall see. We shall see. One of my other favourite stories of the week is the fact that there is a series of laws that have been outed thanks to a photo study. Apparently, these are 8 laws which are true and valid in the US. it's a guy. It's a lady named Olivia Loca, and she's called this photo series called "I Fought the Law." And here they are. These are the stories. In Alabama law, it is illegal to have an ice cream in your back pocket. apparently, it's perfectly legal to have it in the front pocket, but you can't have it in the back pocket.
I found out why.
Oh, go on.
A little bit of research.
Oh, good. Okay. This is interesting.
It was able to avoid a loophole in a horse stealing law. So if horse followed you, then you could use that in court and say, look, I didn't steal the horse, it just followed me.
So the ice cream in my back pocket.
And so people would put something in their back pocket, food in the back pocket, so that they could just walk and the horse would eat the food out of their pocket and follow them along.
That's very clever.
It is
now,
very
I
clever.
Have no idea if that's true or not, but I did read it on the internet.
Well, it makes my story sound boring.
It's got to be true, then.
There you go. Because if you're a horse, you'd really want to follow that arse, wouldn't you?
Well,
no comment.
Moving on. Apparently in Texas, it's illegal for children to have unusual haircuts. Jeffrey, any enlightenment on that?
It should be illegal for them to have stupid haircuts.
That's quite right. It's the only sensible one in the bunch.
I mean, if you're going to have a crazy haircut, it might as well be Ziggy Stardust.
Now, am I right in saying that Wisconsin is the cheese state?
Yes.
Right. Because apparently in Wisconsin, it's illegal to serve apple pie with cheese.
Yeah. Damn it.
I remember the cheese steak thing from
a
movie.
Thing in the Midwest.
Well, isn't that the joke in Men in Black? In the last Men in Black film, he says he always has a big hunk of pie with a big hunk of cheese.
It's kind of
Men in Black 3. I did notice that bit. You see, he always has a big chunk of pie with a big chunk of cheese when they're in the diner. Yeah, see, pie solves all the problems. That's the line there, but he's talked about pie and cheese. I'm sure of it. Someone, please find the pie and cheese joke. Wes says yes. I'm presuming that's to agree with me, but I haven't had a lot of people agree with me this week, I have to say. But there you go. It's illegal to serve pie with cheese in Wisconsin. It's illegal also in Delaware to have pants that are form-fitting around the waist. I've got no idea what that means in the slightest. I guess that's what that picture means, but there we go. Also, in Hawaii, it is illegal to put a coin in your ear. I presume that's in case a horse follows you. And a pickle in Connecticut has to bounce clear of the counter in order to be classified as a pickle. And in California, you cannot ride a bicycle in a swimming pool.
Oh, damn.
And other such effective laws.
Then what's the point of living in California?
Exactly. Exactly. And last but by no means least, UK Sky Broadband has left out its broadband shield. This is the anti-porn filter. It doesn't have to do it yet. It's only done it as a voluntary thing, but they're censoring your porn. Bastards.
That's got to be frustrating for you guys.
Yeah. That's probably not with Sky.
This Princess Bagel says she's going to tour America breaking all those laws because that's how she rolls. She fell asleep at the bash on the lawn. How the hell is she going to get across America? She didn't manage 2 days in Birmingham.
Take a while.
With a bunch of middle-aged farts as well at that. Yeah? Yeah? In Wisconsin, while cheese making requires a license, Limburger cheese making requires a master cheese license. Well, I never.
We've all learned today.
But thanks. Cheers, Pete. Top hole information.
They have a similar law about baiting.
They have a similar law about what?
They have a similar law. It's about baiting.
Baiting. Moving on. The Week in Tech. It's a bring a story party. Righty, kick us off, boy.
Well, you know, we've been talking kind of about the race to the bottom with tablets and things, with like the Huddle and the Argus tablet. But this week,
I know a song about that.
Oh, do you? The Moto G was released this week, which is the baby brothers of the Moto X that's out in America.
Well, the Moto X is the, there was big talk about its release earlier in the week, wasn't there?
Yeah, but the Moto G's come out here, which is it's meant to be a low end Android smartphone, but it's kind of got a lot of premier kind of features and specs. But you can get it for £135 off contract in this country.
Well, there's the Moto X and the Moto G, and the Moto G article that I read on Tech Radar said how the Moto G will change the smartphone market.
Yeah, well, because obviously with KitKat, they're saying about it working on high-end smartphones and low-end, and I think this is where Google's pushing it. Because I think a lot of people are going to go in and see an Android phone for £135. I think phones for you are doing £120 off contract. It's only £11 a month.
That bling was Richard, who changed his profile picture and let his Skype cut out.
I was going to say, I wonder what that was.
Great, he broke Skype.
He broke Skype. That's what you get for living in the Northeast. Anyway, back to you, Righty. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, but I think that you know, a lot of people are saying in stories it could really disrupt the market. And I actually think it could. Because the other thing it does is it's taking on where Apple are going with the 5S with all the colours. Because the Moto G has got a changeable back, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, is that inductive as well?
I think it's just a...
Because the Nokia changeable backs are inductive.
Yeah, I don't think it is on the Moto G, but I think, you know, they're going to put that front and centre at a lot of phone shops to get people through the door.
Belts in the chat room says that the Moto G doesn't come with KitKat.
No, it doesn't. It comes with 4.3, but they have promised that it will get it, so...
Right, and it's also... Windroad is saying that the Moto G's only got 3G, it won't be available for LTE.
No. So then a lot of people who are going to buy low-end smartphones aren't going to be interested in LTE anyway, are they? So
they're going to think LTE is Philadelphia, the low-calorie version of Philadelphia.
But I think they're going to sell a lot of these, I think. You know, and so basically Google are doing, you know, they are now really covering the low-end, the mid-range and the high-end.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Apple, where we thought that the 5S would kind of be challenge the mid-end, it wasn't really, because any...
You have an incoming call from Richard Harkness.
That would be Richard Harkness.
I wonder who that could be.
Oh, he's come back with video.
Really?
Holy crap! Booyah! Who the hell says booyah anymore?
People who can't figure out how to work a camera.
He's back. Well, you just checking the manual or something and you finally got it.
Well, there he is.
Stupid Skype didn't tell me that I needed an update, did it? So
you've been downloading an update this whole time?
Yep.
Good lad. There we go.
I can't see you, but that'll do.
No, because I don't send any picture of me, that's why.
Sorry.
That's fine. Well, glad you're back, mate. Glad you're back. We were talking to Jeff. Jeff, what have you got to say about the Moto G and Moto X? Have you kept up at all with them?
I'm sorting out why these companies are rolling out phones with old versions of Android. Why do that? It just seems like a bad move, because you're giving people old technology, you are fragmenting the Android market even more, and you end up with users that are either going to be confused because they don't have the most recent operating system, or angry because they bought a brand new phone and it doesn't even have the most recent operating system.
Yeah.
Because the most confusing thing is Motorola, owned by Google, comes out with the older operating system. That's even more confusing.
Yeah. But the other thing is that they've made KitKat one of the most backward compatible Android systems, so it'll work on everything like that. So yeah, it should just ship with it, shouldn't it? Really,
you would have thought so.
Yeah, so this whole Motorola Mobility buyout thing is working out really well for Google, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, as well, that puzzles me is why Google would buy out Motorola and then stick with the Moto brand when they're bringing out their own. I mean, Richard, you're here to talk about Nexus 5. You've got that, and you're saying it's a gorgeous, lovely screen. Why make a Moto G, Moto X? I mean, okay, if it's your down market brand, then fair enough. But I'm struggling to see why Google would buy something and then ship shit.
It's confusing.
Think of a better way of saying that. Sorry.
Their strategy is very confusing, I think.
Well, someone must have thought about this. I mean, that's the only thing you can say, surely.
But then, aren't they looking at not to piss off their partners? As if they kind of got rid of the Motorola brand, just called it the Google phone. It wouldn't be the same way that kind of Microsoft did the Surface and all that. That really cheesed off all the kind of vendors, didn't it?
Maybe, yeah. Don't know.
So.
Well, the Nexus would... The Android brand is so huge in terms of the number of people who are using it as an OS on the market. It's taking 70% of the market up in the UK and Europe. I can't believe that the Android market is so unfragmented that people would be pissed off by Google bringing out any phone, whether it's a top end, middle, or bottom end.
Could it just be that, you know, they wanted the Nexus 5 to be the only phone with KitKat for a good while?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
I wasn't arguing whether it made sense or not.
No, it might be the reason. Go on then, Jeff. Give us the rationale of why that would be a stupid move.
That's okay. First, because it's stupid. And second, because if you have the ability to use the most current version of the operating system, why would you not do that?
Well, it's in Motorola, I would agree.
Yeah, it's in Google's best interest to have the most current version of their operating system on all the devices. And putting an older version on and then saying, oh, don't worry, we'll update it later. No, that's stupid. Put the new version on now and don't make people wait.
Yeah.
Does the Motorola just come with stock KitKat or is it modified?
It doesn't come with KitKat at all, mate. It comes with Jelly Bean.
Well, modified Jelly Bean then.
No, it's stock Jelly Bean. Well, I think
Do you think Google's choosing these names just so we sound stupid when we're talking about them?
Chocolate teapot. We did have an episode a couple of years ago where we called it Google Chocolate Teapot. We were trying to guess the next name.
If they call it Duke Google Chocolate Starfish, we're in real trouble.
Chocolate Starfish. And the doctor goes back to a prostate exam. Just right, that was the first episode you came on, mate. You and your locums, you love your thumb examinations. No, I there's a bit of me looks at this and thinks, well, okay, keep the down brand with the down version, but... presumably KitKat's available for download. So if you've got Tesco Huddle, you should be able to put the latest version of Android OS on it. Can you get KitKat now as a separate download to stick on your OS device if it's deregulated and not under operator license?
I don't think you can.
No.
There's not in the App Store or anything like that.
So. It's not a widespread release yet, is it?
That when she's chastising me in the chat room saying, one day I may be very grateful of that thumb exam. I don't see why I should be grateful when I normally have to pay for it.
You know, but at least you're getting a quality service, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there you go.
Never mind. Doctor me toe hurts, bend over. Needs to chest him. No, a KitKat is not available for download. Confirms Belts. He's the only sensible person in the chat room. Thank you, mate. Do I have to pay? Is this Princess Bagel? I'm moving on. That's a joke.
Well, that depends on whether or not she's buying the drinks.
Oh, mate, I'm nearly 50. I'm well past buying drinks. Does it change? You go back to your sensible story, Paul. Does the Moto X and the Moto G change the smartphone market based on everything we've just discussed? My answer's got to be no.
Yeah, but people who buy those phones don't really care which version of Android they got, and that's why Android's so prevalent, because people don't really know they've got Android anyway. They don't know they've got a Google phone. They just know it does Facebook, it does email. It's all they really know.
They're the people who are in the mobile phone stores actually listening to anything that the staff tell them.
Yeah, but that's why they sell so many of them.
I don't like being in those stores. It makes me feel really uncomfortable just listening to the utter drivel that most of these salespeople spout.
Said the bloke who couldn't switch his camera on.
I blame Microsoft.
I've got to love Microsoft. Love my Windows phone. Still, weeks in, I still love it. Missed a few things, but... Fort in the chat room says, why not just turn up at an American airport instead of paying for that exam? Or go to New Mexico.
Too much information.
There we go. Now, you have a Nexus 5, don't you, Richard?
Oh, yeah.
There's the bad boy. Can you see it?
Yeah, right, okay. Nice picture. Oh, it looks chunky.
No, it's not chunky at all.
No, it's just big boned.
Fortunately, I can't see on the screen at the same time that you do, but...
No, that's all right. But is it about the same width as an iPhone 5? It's definitely bigger as a screen, surely.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a 5-inch screen, virtually. It's about the same width as a 4S when I put the two of them next to each other, when I laid them side by side. And it's about the same width as the Nexus 4 as well.
Right. So, enjoying it?
I love it. It's amazing. I will not go back to having a smaller screen again. Absolutely not.
I did say. Were you an iPhone user, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But used nothing but since I started on the 3GS. I've had an iPhone ever since. And I was never inspired by the iPhone 5. But I just wasn't interested. And then this thing came. I was very interested in the Nexus 4 when the Nexus 4 came out, but I was too late. I was too late. I was at least halfway through the release cycle before that really hit my radar. And it was very hard to get a hold of them as well. And then when they dropped the price, I was very tempted, but I thought, no, I'll wait for the Nexus 5. And boy, am I glad I did. It's a beast of a phone. It's very fast, very slick. KitKat is very smooth in terms of previously when I've used some forms of Android and played about with other people's phones, it's felt a bit juddery, bit stuttery at times. Doesn't miss a beat.
Good. I mean, who else here has got an alternative phone? That would be me.
An alternative phone. That's awesome.
An alternative phone to the iPhone. I have, and I don't miss iPhone, I have to say. I found a few glitch issues with things like iMessages for people wanting to contact me more than we wanted to contact them as an issue. But and a couple of apps here and there. It's not brilliantly served still for apps, but I'm still very, very happy with it, I have to say. And I've shot photos and videos with it I'm really chuffed with.
There's not an awful lot in the... in the App Store that's, you know, the Apple App Store that's not in the Google App Store now, really. Or that doesn't have some sort of reasonable equivalent. Yeah. So, it's not, I would say from the point of view of photographs, I don't think it's that great of a snapper at the moment. But they reckon there's a software update coming that's going to improve that. So it's a bit slow to focus. I find
that's a bit of malaise from general smartphones, including the iPhone.
I think my iPhone 4S did pictures a lot faster than this thing does, but you can't beat that extra screen real estate, and the resolution's higher than the 5S as well, so it's a full 1080p display.
That witch is saying Dr. Sexy and Jeff have Stormtrooper dildos as mics.
I had used that term to describe this microphone on many occasions. Occasionally I'll swap out Stormtrooper with robot.
I came back through Dusseldorf Airport and I had my I had my Rode Podcaster shoved in the side pouch of my laptop bag as I came through customs, and I'd got a whole pile of curly leads and some lenses and a camera body in the main box and my MacBook Pro, and I shoved it through the X-ray, and they said, we must check this, and they pulled it all to one side, pulled everything, or left the bag as it was and pulled it to one side and took the microphone out and re-x-rayed it. And then they handed it to me while they went through the rest of the bag. And I'm stood in Dusseldorf Force Air Force with this thing looking like a dildo in the middle in front of everyone at security.
That's awesome.
Bastards.
It is Germany, though. Nobody's going to bat an eyelid.
True. That's true. That is true.
That's just very small.
Yeah. And Princess Bagel says she agrees Windows Mobile does need more apps from Weight Watchers. What the?
Eh?
Yeah, apparently my wife paid them to do that as well. You should wave it around like a lightsaber. Is that the dildo mic or the...
I get worried.
Moving on. Jeff, what have you brought for us, sir?
All right, so... sticking with Google, turns out that Google, through Motorola Mobility, has a new patent they filed. And I can't imagine anything that could possibly go wrong with this. It's a patent for a tattoo that includes a built-in microphone with a lie detector. So the idea is you get this tattoo put on your neck, and it has a microphone in it. And then it pairs wirelessly with your smartphone. And now you use your tattoo to talk instead of having to hold your phone up to your head. And it has a lie detector built in. So I'm sure that's going to be something that that clandestine organizations that like to monitor all of our actions will just love to have. But the idea of a tattoo for a microphone is a little bit creepy to me.
All citizens of Googletopia will have one.
I don't see how that works as a lie detector.
It must be something in that does something with your vocal cords, I'm guessing.
What, like a proctological exam?
Will you stop it?
You started it!
You'd have to really shove your hand up quite a long way to get your vocal cords.
I'll take your word for that. Thank you, Richard. That's how many 7 years of medical school for that piece of advice?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so this patent is called coupling an electronic skin tattoo to a mobile device, which just sounds itself kind of scary.
So the only bit of that currently exists is the mobile electronic device.
Right.
There's no electronic tattoos.
Right, not yet. And there's also no system for removing it either. So once you've got this, you've got it.
Right.
Oh.
Does it have to be in a certain pattern, Jeff, or could you have like love, hate tattooed on your neck?
And what each one glows. Lie. Lie truth.
I'm assuming that what you could do is have the tattoo put on and then have an artist incorporate that into something else so that it's not obvious that you have your microphone tattoo on your neck. But you're going to sell these people with a tattoo right here. Of course, you'll know that they have their little Motorola microphone stuck in their neck.
I could see it being used for criminals on trial or something.
You force a tattoo on. Do you think that's if you're on trial, the presumption of innocence does presumably take over, and then you'd force a tattoo on a person while they were still innocent?
Absolutely.
Just in case they might lie.
Absolutely.
Or only in the big cases.
Yeah.
The ones where you know they're guilty.
Democracy's going away, don't worry.
Or was it ever here? I listen to Bill Maher's show. I've got to say, I do enjoy the Bill Maher show and listen to the podcast over here. And they had the guy on that was ex-whistleblower for the NSA. He left in 2003 under protest. And he was saying that basically all of the presidents and all of the president's men from 2003 onwards should have all been impeached, including Obama, because of everything that's been going on with the NSA. And the shit those boys have pulled. Holy hell. And apparently the NSA has been around since the early 50s.
And there's nothing happened to them as a result of this, is there, really?
There's no oversight whatsoever. No oversight. And it's a bit McCarthyistic as well, because anyone that raises their hand and says, this is a bad thing, they'll go, oh, see, look, communist.
Oh, he might have to have a little accident.
No, steady on. Let's not. I didn't say murders. Jesus Christ, Richard.
Dr. Death.
Bat Winch in the chat room is saying, have I got a thing about having stuff shoved up my arse? Thank you for that subtle comment, BWA. No, I haven't.
Anything wrong with that, Ewan.
Dr. Sexy Death, says Princess Bagel.
I mean, if it feels good to you, that's okay.
That's what I keep saying.
Yeah, never mind. It's okay. You're a grown-up, and you can make these choices, and you deserve to be happy and to be sexually fulfilled. So go for it.
Who said anything about sexually fulfilled? Mac Jim says, don't think Ewan's going to get into the USA. Unharmed.
My word.
So, Jeff, do you ever see this pattern ever being enforced anywhere?
Oh, God, I hope not. Oh, man. Please, no.
You could just imagine.
What a horrible idea, in general.
Let's say that they do the whole thing that Richard says, and they get a court order that says you have to have a truth lie on your forehead or something, or on your neck. And you get caught out, and you get found guilty of the crime, and you go away and do your time. But because it's a tattoo, it's still there. And then you come out, and you're in a bar chatting up some woman. And she says, so what do you do for a living? And you go, oh, I'm a stockbroker. So do you have a big penis? Oh, yeah.
Now I see where the problem is. Yeah, this is not good.
This could be the thing that causes the next stage of evolution in mankind, if we all tell the truth all the time. We'd have to kill each other first.
It could be Ricky Gervais, couldn't it?
Might all end up killing each other.
The invention of lying.
Someone will find a way to hack these.
Does my bum look big in this?
Yeah. Now someone will find a way to hack it. So you can make it. You can make the lie detector part do whatever you want, I'm sure.
Oh my God.
That's scary.
That it would be good.
I've jailbroken my tattoo.
It's running 4.0 at the moment.
Yeah, and then what happens if they find out that there's like a firmware problem with these things, and it's stuck in you, you can't take it out? What do they do?
I don't know. I mean, electronic tattoo removal.
Yeah. So how do they put it on?
I don't. Dude, there's no such thing. Let's just be clear about it. In terms of patent trolling, this is the nth degree because it doesn't exist.
Branding iron?
Google did say when they took over Motorola, they let them get on with kind of developing things. If this is what they're coming up with, they should really kind of rethink.
I've got to say, based on his responses, if Richard Harkness ever runs for public office, I am not voting for you, dude. I really am not. You want to brand me? Instead of tattoo me, and you want to do it before I've been found guilty.
Ah, dear. You've got to have a bit of fun, haven't you, really?
The law recording. You are Judge Dredd.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We got us a lawbreaker.
Yep.
He's got the jewel.
Richard Harkness scorched earth. Why I? Right then. Dr. Richard, did you bring a story with you?
What?
Show us your homework. It's a bring a story, but don't you listen to this podcast anymore?
I told you my Nexus was
you
my
brought
story.
Your Nexus. All right, okay. So I'll do my story then. This, and you can't even get a picture of the damn thing, is the Renault Zoe.
Oh, at last.
Yeah. Why? Have you been waiting for this, hasn't it?
No, but they talked about this thing about 3 years ago.
The Renault Zoe.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely coming.
I've been following the progress with EV cars with interest, because I think it's an interesting area, but I mean, Reynolds have been talking about this for absolutely donkeys, but this is finally what it's going to look like, is it?
Well, yeah, a black screen. Because I couldn't... I've got several pictures here on Google Images, and there's a couple of them, wherever I've clicked on them, they've come up and they've said, no, you can't. Click for a normal view, and when you click, the last thing you get is a normal view. Actually, what you get is this view, which is just a black screen. So there you go. I have got one just for the purposes of illustration. There we go. That is a Renault Zoe. It is an electric car that you run up to a thing and you plug it in and away you go. That's it. Shebang.
You know that image that you showed just before? I could see the cars.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's one of those crazy things that Google Images does for some reason. Anyway.
Ah, weird.
There you go. What is special? Let me ask you. What is special, do you think, about the Renault Zoe? Because it's not that it's an electrical vehicle.
No. We're trying to find out.
It's because the Renault Zoe is going to be the first car that comes with digital rights management.
What?
This car.
The DRM car.
The DRM car. It's opted to lock purchasers into contracts with battery manufacturers and force that contract with digital rights management restrictions on the battery, which will prevent it being remotely removed and charging.
Oh, screw that, then.
There you go. Now, well, it's not ridiculous because, actually, if you look at a lot of... I won't say the name of the camera manufacturer, but I use them on a regular basis, and I've got lots of Canon lenses. but I'm not suggesting that this is true or not. It's purely anecdotal. But I bought a Canon, and you get the Canon battery with it, and you bought a few extra Canon batteries, and typically you'd go and buy a Harnoll or something like that, which was an off-brand battery, but worked just as well. And I recently bought a battery for... when I bought the camera, I bought some alternative batteries. And when I stuck them in the camera, it said... No, I can't read this battery, awfully sorry. Well, it's emitting a charge, it's on the same contact as why not? Well, it hasn't got a chip in it that tells me it's a Canon battery, therefore I can't read it. On the grounds of health and safety, of course. And then I take it out and I stick it in the charger, and the charger goes, no, not charging this. On the grounds of health and safety, of course. All the batteries are chipped. If you look at all your ink cartridges and things like that, a lot of the ink cartridges now for your printer are chipped so that you can't put in off-brand batteries for those. And that's what Renault are doing with this car. And I've got to say, I think that... I know you can say, well, hang on, you can buy any car you like. You don't have to buy the car that's got DRM. But if they've all got DRM, then... that locks you into parts, and parts is restriction of the market. And the EU have got to start thinking about intervening on the peripherals, if you like, in inverted commas, of equipment, and whether it is lawful for manufacturers to lock into spare parts or whether third-party spare part manufacturers should be legal or not. I don't mind a problem things like Apple's MagSafe connector and so on, because they've done the research on it, they've manufactured it, they've come up with something that is market leading and does a great job at what it does. They should be able to DRM copyright that. That's fair enough. But I've got a real issue with the fact that all you've got is a battery that clips out and comes away. You shouldn't be limited to another battery that you put in place. Discuss.
Well, I think a lot of that probably has to do with I went and had a little test drive of a Nissan Leaf just out of curiosity to see what it was like. And they seem to be pushing very hard for the battery rental side of things.
Yeah.
They don't want you to buy it outright. They want you to keep the rental. And I wonder whether this is part of that you're going to be locked into maintaining your battery rental with them and not swapping it out for, like you say, a third-party one.
Well, this is particularly aimed at the rental market. I know one of the things that they're talking about doing with cars, because of the problems of I've got to drive 200 miles and then I've got to recharge, and 200 miles is effectively nothing, especially in somewhere like America.
People drive that far just to get to Starbucks.
Yeah. What they're talking about is unifying the design of battery compartments, and therefore you can drive over, go into like a car wash almost, and you'll be able to unclip your battery, drop one out, and put another one in, and then you just pay for the charge difference because they've got the hardware of the battery. That is absolutely fantastic, but this would preclude that market entirely. It would stop that as a business, and it effectively bulks your... unless you've got to go to a Renault-badged or a Renault-authorised battery swap And then you're stuffed, really, on what the distance is between them.
What got me about it, Ewan, when I was talking to the guy, the way he's obviously been taught to promote it is like, oh, just think of it like, you know, instead of spending money on petrol, you're just paying something like that, but it's for the hire of your battery instead. And you kind of think, well, what's attractive about that then? I thought the whole point of having an electric car is that you pay next to nothing to make the thing move.
Well, so, you've still got to charge it yourself, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it's a pittance compared to the price of petrol.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about in America, but in the UK, certainly it is. Petrol's free in the US, Jeff, isn't it?
Yes, actually, yeah. They have illegal immigrants going house to house with buckets. Here's your free gasoline.
That's a market right there, Jeff. You've come up with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be rich.
If George W. Bush was still in charge, mate, they'd be sitting listening up there. Really? Where's that happen?
Oh, yeah. They'd be taking notes. Like, they're probably men in black at my door right now to take me away so that I could consult on this project.
With apple pie and a chunk of cheese.
God bless America.
Because you're in Colorado. You can get away with it there. The chat room's gone off on one, but mostly slagging off Starbucks, which the story had absolutely nothing to do with Starbucks other than Jeff happened to mention it in passing. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you just get flamed for
See what happens with Apple? You just mention Apple in passing, whoosh, they're off. And Starbucks is another touch paper. But I thought it was interesting, DRM in cars, and I can see it coming. You'll probably find that they can't do it in nuts and bolts because people can drill holes in the relevant locations and nuts and bolts all of a sudden fit, but batteries is the one area where they definitely can chip it, and they definitely have got you by the short and curlies if they're not careful. It is time for the EU to act on this stuff. Gotta be.
There's something, not quite DRM, but a compatibility thing that's really come to light for me with having the Nexus 5. And a lot of, like, my car and the missus' car won't play nicely with the Nexus 5 because they've just been so set up for the iPhone. My wife, she has a little USB connector in the glove box, and I thought, oh, smashing, that'll be dead easy, and just whacking the USB to micro USB, off we go. Mm. Nope, unsupported. And you just know damn well you're never going to get the garage to do anything to make that work. I mean, I went through the forums for ages to try and find out a solution for my car, and eventually came across a cable. Was it on Amazon, I think it was, which did Audi's proprietary, they call it the music interface or something, to an aux cable. And that was the way I had to try and work around that. So, yeah, it's just, it would be nice if you just had a way, like just a universal connection that worked for everything.
Yeah, I noticed I've got a little, where's it gone? Where's it bloody gone? It was in front of me a minute ago. And now it's gone. But I've got a Thunderbolt or a 30-pin to lightning adapter thing that's just a no-name brand that will just charge and do a bit of data sync. That's it. Every time I plug that into my iPad Air, it says, oh, no, this isn't an authorised cable. You know, you do bear in mind that things could go horribly wrong. And yes. Data might be lost and stuff. And you're like, okay, thanks very much for the warning, Apple. But to Apple's credit, they still sync the data and they still transfer stuff across. And it's... You know, the world doesn't actually end. They still go ahead and let you do it. And I've swapped it now for a proper cable because I've got more of them.
What bothers me is, you know, there's a lot of talk at the keynote about Apple integrating iOS and things like that into car systems. And I really don't like the idea that we might end up in a situation where you choose your car based on your phone loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that goes back to the kind of fragmentation in Android, because the car manufacturers are probably going more with kind of iOS because more people have, you know, they can follow the versions, can't they?
It's cost, yeah, as well. It's the expenditure, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I went to, someone ran into the back of my car a few years back, and while it was being fixed, I had an ML5 series, the Mercedes. Absolutely gorgeous, big, huge, Hummer-type vehicle. And I took it back, and the guy said, what do you reckon then, 50 grand's worth of car you've had for a week? You enjoyed it? I said, yeah, no, it's been fine. It's a lovely ride. And he said, you're going to think about buying one? I said, nope. And he said, what is it, price? I said, nope, it doesn't sync with my iPhone. And it didn't. I couldn't get my iPhone to work through the hands-free kit. So, not interested. Take it away.
Wow.
Sax in the chat room just apologised. He's getting grief off Jim, but based on what he wrote, mate, you should apologise because I don't know with that word at all. So there we go. That's it then. We've done a story each because there's only four of us, you see. It's easy. We've got some reviews. If you want the daddy of the show on reviews, you need to tune into the Mac Show tomorrow. We'll pick that one up on the feet because I'm promising you that's worth listening to. This one, Bad Tinner says, you and Rankin and guests managed to talk informatively and amusingly about tech for over an hour each week. Not this week, mate. Could be improved if the regular guest, Jeff Dammit, promised not to say and three times in every sentence. Go on, Jeff, say and.
These people are just so demanding and they want me to change vocabulary for them.
And...
And oh, mate. I don't know.
I was in two minds whether to read that out, but based on the shit I've had this week, that's really mild. They love you otherwise. J88 says, I'm an American listener referred to by Tom Merritt. Although I've already had more than enough news and tech commentary, I kept on listening to BTN for two reasons. One, love the accents. Two, it's just too funny. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much for taking the time to review, sir. And Ian's written, The Big Show is another great series from the British Tech Network. You and the team demonstrate that talking tech doesn't have to be boring. As an Apple man through and through, I don't think this would be for me, but actually it's now second to the Mac Show in my weekly podcast list. Great lighthearted entertainment from people who are talking sense.
Wow.
Not sure which episode he listened to.
Yeah, what's he listening to?
Keep up the great work. If you'd like to leave us a review in iTunes, we would be very grateful. They mean an awful lot to us, and they actually help our standing. The more reviews you get, the higher that you go. Because Will Green has pushed out two podcasts in a year, I think, and he's still number eight in the tech news chart. So it's about the reviews, definitely. He's got 270-odd or something like that. So please, 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 give us a review in iTunes. If you haven't done so already, it means an awful lot to us and helps our rankings. If you'd like to listen to the opposite of what those reviews are saying tomorrow, then tune in for the Mac Show, because it's going to be well worth it, I promise. God, there's some tosspots out there. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. We love them to bits. They're spangly. If you can, go and get your website through UK2 because they support us. That's the main part of it. They've been picking up the bandwidth for this show now for 4 years, and they're going to be with us for at least another two. We've signed up a great deal with them. They're really, really stand-up people. If you've got problems, it always gets fixed. So please, please support UK2 because they look after us. And people go, yeah, but bandwidth's cheap now. You can go with anyone you like. We don't want to. They looked after us when bandwidth wasn't cheap. And I've got to say, loyalty's a big thing for me. So please, please, please support them because they've been loyal supporters of us for a very, very long time. Right then. It's time for the cool thing. Did you remember to bring a cool thing by any chance then, Richard?
Kind of. If it's an app, if that's all right.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
I've no idea whether anybody else has used this before. It's on Android and it's called 500 Fire Paper. Anyone done that one?
No. Go on. Explain more.
It's really nice. It's just a free app. And what it does is it links into something called 500 Pix. I think it's a photography website.
Mm-hmm.
And it acts as your wallpaper. And it will keep... You can change how often you want to do it. But it gives you... I'll hold up the camera there. It gives you lovely backdrops all the time. And you can change how often you want it to refresh. And there's, you can choose categories that you like and things like that. It's just really lovely. I think at the minute I've got it set. Let's have a look. Yeah, I've got it set to give me a different one every time I power off and power back on the screen. So, yeah, lovely.
Which, based on the fact it's an Android phone, is regularly enough. That's a joke.
I've not.
That's a joke. That's a joke. Calm down. Excellent, mate. Good pick. Did you say a price? Free?
Free.
Free. Like that. Good free. Jeffrey, what do you have for us, sir?
I have something that's a little more than free.
Is it so significant that we might be calling the amount of money a Jeffrey?
Yes, maybe so. Okay, so what I have for you is an electronic bartender, and it's called Bonjour. And what it is a, I just did it, and. What it is, it's a computer that mixes drinks for you. What you can do is have it randomly pick a drink, or you can use the on-screen thing where you can pick a drink that you want, or you can use your smartphone and select a drink that way. It also will let you randomly get a drink. So, yeah, Bonjour. Oh, it's $2,700.
You didn't buy this. Someone sent you this on Afro, surely.
No, I came across it when I was doing other searches.
You keep looking out. Oh, have you got one?
No, I don't.
Oh, right. But you want one. That's what you're saying.
I was reading some of the, oh, I'd love one. Yeah. I'm reading about, or I was reading the specs from my screen that's over here. But since you can't see over there, what I should say is I'm looking over at the display right now, and I'm trying to figure out what drink I want it to make for me.
Monsieur.co. That's it. And it's like tea, Earl Grey hot, yeah?
Yes, but better because it's booze.
Yeah, but don't you have to put the booze in first? Has it got reservoirs of...
It has reservoirs for the booze, so it can drop ice into the glass, and then it will mix the drink for you. And from what I've heard, it actually does a pretty good job.
So it's like the Nespresso of alcohol.
Oh, their website's cool as well.
It's pretty cool. So, yeah, if someone knows how to hook me up with one of these, I will sit here and make drinks during the show.
It does subliminal flashes of the images as well on the way through. Oh, holy shit.
Only $2,700.
This has been invented by Barry Givens, Eric Williams, Paul Judge, and Mario Taylor. Boys, there'll be a religion named after you. Okay, pre-order. It's not available yet. It's a Kickstarter project. 189 backers. That's it. Can you submit a dollar? What do you get for a dollar?
No.
You can get the Monsieur mobile app, which is just a list of cocktails, I'm presuming.
Probably.
You need to submit... $2,900 or more to get an international monsieur. And $10,000 gets you a golden suite.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
More than $10, there's only one backer.
So maybe... if you back high enough, this could turn into an awesome date.
You can have 12 profiles. This is like Netflix, but for drinks. So I can have a profile for the kids, and a profile for me, and a profile for Sharon. There's 12 unique profiles. There's 25 cocktails allowed in each profile. There's 150 drinks that can be made without refilling it. And there's 300 different cocktails that can be made.
Okay, these people need to hook me up with one so that I can
review, you gotta review it
on the show. Okay, and if they do, I'm reviewing it on the show, and our live listeners will be able to tell me what drinks I need to have it make. We'll see how quickly I can get through all of their drinks in the show.
It's a pretty big old beast, it has to be said. It's the size of kind of one of those little beer fridges or little wine fridges.
I'll find a table to put it on.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
So, Jeff, I'll tell you when you're approaching liver failure.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Dude, you're just going to buy this thing, take out the bit that holds the glass, and lie with your head inside it.
That's the most beautiful thing I've heard all day.
If it does voice activation like a Siri thing that also allows for the slur, mate, that could be it. Sounds awesome.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? Adapted.
Monsieur.co, if you haven't clicked it already, go do it, because I'm sitting thinking new MacBook Pro or a Monsieur cocktail maker. Mind you, it's probably going to cost you about $4,000 for the bloody cocktail liquor that's got to go inside it if you want to make all the cocktails. Is it like a coffee maker's belt?
Where's the problem with that?
Yeah, good point. Good point.
You're going to buy the booze anyhow.
I like the tagline, your new best friend. It should have underneath, and probably your only friend.
Yeah, after a week.
You'd be a lonely, lonely man.
You see, after a week, your wife comes out and goes, you're still in your pajamas. And you're like, I don't need you, woman. You could go.
I don't need you anymore.
I don't need anything I did. No. I just need you to get me some booze before you leave. I've filled it up. There we go. My cool thing, I'm going to get the piss taken. I got the piss taken at me really rottenly the other week for picking Netflix because I was sick and Netflix saved the day. But I'm going to pick The Great Gatsby. I've got to say I was dubious because I thought the original Great Gatsby that with Redford in it, I thought was excellent. But this one, I think they've done a fantastic job. Scott Fitzgerald would be absolutely over the moon with what they did with it. The story's great. The interspersing of modern music with it is absolutely fantastic. It doesn't seem out of place at all in the way that they've done it. And the dancing kind of fits in. They've got the 20 steps, but put them in with the modern music beat. It's really, really well done. The oversaturation of the movie is deliberate and brilliant because it's anti-black and white, if you like, which kind of mimics the era of the time. I watched it last night with Sharon, and I was blown away with it. It's the classic story, but it's also done very, very well. And I like DiCaprio as an actor. I think he's a really talented kid, except he's getting towards an old man now. Well done. Well done, whoever made that, because I really enjoyed it. My recommendation wholeheartedly this week is The Great Gatsby. I bought it on...
Isn't that a Baz Thurman film?
It could well be. I didn't...
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I was very impressed. Very impressed. The cinematography is amazing. The special effects and the house and the parties, it's decadence in the extreme. Absolutely well done. Superb job. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Baz Luhrmann, says Bat Winch in the chat room.
Yes.
It's a great Gatsby. No, it's not. It's The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby. Okay. No, it's well better than the original. She's talking out her ass. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Dr. H?
At Rich Harkness on Twitter, or are you getting at .co.uk as my blog?
Thank you very much, mate. Excellent job. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm at the Mac Observer, so that would be macobserver.com. And also on Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamut. You can find me on a ton of podcasts, pretty much like everything here. So
it's your network.
What do I do regularly here? The Big Show, the Mac Show, and the Comic Show. And then I also do, we have Communicators, Apple Context Machine.
How the hell do you get time to go to a coffee shop and watch some student trying to date their biology teacher?
I don't know, he has time to go to the toilet, never mind coffee shop.
Yeah, I have no life. But at least have a good time not having a life. Oh, and speaking of coffee shops, go to freshbrewedtales.com because that's where I write about things that I do when I'm at the coffee shop, including the poor guy that totally crashed and burned trying to get a date with his biology tutor.
Well, it's good to know that teachers don't shag students, you have to say.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah,
there you go. See, if he's missing, then he should go on Snapchat, perhaps. And Righty, where the hell are you, boy?
We didn't want the cool thingy then.
Oh shit, we're not done it. I'm sorry, dude. What's your cool thing, man?
That's all right.
It's the order. It's the order. You see, because on that seat, I did, and on that screen, Jeff's the last one. Do apologise, pal.
That's all right.
What's your cool thing, Righty? Go for it. No, come on, man.
Something I reviewed on the site last night, which is Daily Spank.
I beg your pardon.
You need to clarify.
I do, well, I do. It's actually a photography app. I'll try to get into Instagram and things like that, but can't really do it. But the good thing about Daily Spank is they give you a theme every day.
Can you go through the rest of this review without saying the name?
Daily Spank. No, well, I can't. No, I can't. What they do, you can see it, you probably can see it there. They give you a theme every day, and what you need to do is take up on that theme. And it's kind of got a community feel to it. And people can spank your pictures, as in like them. And, and it kind of goes up the rank. So you kind of build up a profile and go up charts. But I think there's one here says take a photo of some legs. And there's some awful pictures of people and their legs. But it's just a good bit of fun.
So it gives you a theme for the day. I like that.
Yeah, it's good because if you're looking for a little bit of inspiration, sometimes you don't know what to take a picture of. But also you've got community all taking pictures of the same thing. And you're getting kind of a different perspective on the subject. So I've been on there a couple of days and there's some great people on there, some really funny pictures on there, and really enjoy it. It's on iOS and it's free.
Excellent.
There is a review up on the site as well.
I'm going to see if it's, if I can, I'm going to see if it's on Windows 8. Or is it only is iOS only?
I think you can only spank on iOS at the moment.
Boomer. I'll have to do it off my iPad here. Good pick, mate. I like that. I'm going to give that a go because you sometimes need a little shove in the right direction, don't you, for your inspiration?
Yeah. Some of the pictures are hilarious. It's just great to check out now and then.
Excellent. And where can we get a hold of you, Paul? I do apologise, mate. I hadn't to forget you.
I'm at Paulums on Twitter and always reviewing at the British Tech Network.
Paul, Princess Bagel in the chat room, she's first today back for weeks, and she said, I've just seen a bare bottom on the news. Why are you watching the news and not watching us?
Huh? Yeah. We need more bare bottoms.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. If you'd like to send me some hate mail, then you can send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. But do bear in mind that if you send that through, you will be signed up to the Westboro Baptist newsletter. And I shit you not. There's a few people who've got some shots coming in their email the next few weeks. We'll see you tomorrow for the Mac Show. It'll be worth tuning in live, I promise you. And if not, then pick it up on the feed. Thanks for listening. Brilliant.